Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I have to ask you a very important question. Have you received your healing hanky yet? You know, somebody gave my wife information on this scam in our local area, and she kept the individual from falling for it because they actually almost did. Then, of course, we got the same information in the mail ourselves. Exact same mailer came to us, and you know, this is just an old scam that many false, really more in the radio evangelists, I suppose you'd say, were guilty of bilking people with. And I remember a guy, David Epley, years ago. Oh, he was a guy who was like a psychic, you know, a so-called Christian evangelist, and he would, you know, perceive, oh, I know there's somebody out there that needs healing and they've got cancer or whatever, you know, and he was one of the early scammers in using media, modern media, in the radio format. But I believe he was also one of the guys that promoted the healing hankies, and you know, actually, the full description from the flyer is the holy, blessed, powerful, prosperous biblical handkerchief, and they reference Acts 19, 11, and 12, and of course they're overreaching there a bit, because in those passages, in fact, I will read those to you. We don't see a whole lot about the prosperity in there, but you know, given the source of the folks that send these things out, it's pretty easy to imagine why they would attribute even more power to these handkerchiefs than just healing. But anyway, in Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And God wrought," or he did special miracles by the hands of Paul. I'm using King James Version here. So that from his body, Paul's body, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So, you know, people were blessed by, what does it say? Special miracles. Not every day anybody can do this in the 21st century kind of miracles, but these were special miracles that God was doing by the hands of Paul. God chose to use Paul in this way so that you know, these articles of clothing, these handkerchiefs and aprons, or aprons is the other term for it, were, even as people, you know, touched these garments, they were healed, or their diseases departed, as well as evil spirits. You know, no mention of prosperity here as far as financial prosperity, what have you. But the modern day version of these blessed, powerful, prosperous biblical handkerchiefs is a little bit different. But anyway, and I know some of you are probably thinking, are you really going there, you know, wasting time on this? But I think it's important, of course, in the times we live and the deceptions that are out there, there are a variety of deceptions geared towards every individual. Satan knows how to deceive people in many different ways. He comes as an angel of light, and he has various means by which he can deceive people. And there are some who would fall for this, and there may be somebody that you know that might fall for this. And, you know, in reality, let me move on before I reference an old circus guy that you may recognize his name. you know, when I opened up the mailer that we got, because we only had a partial mailer that my wife got from an individual, we found, there it was, the prosperous, blessed, healing hanky made out of paper. It was just a sheet of paper painted, or, you know, with the ink on it that made it give the illusion that it was a handkerchief. I guess you could blow your nose on this piece of paper, and I guess, you know, technically, it could be used as a handkerchief. But somehow I feel cheated by this particular thing that's been sent to me here. Now, here's the enclosed information that came along with this. It references Well, of course, Acts, as I mentioned, 19, but it also references 3 John, the epistle of 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And again, there you get back to the physical prosperity and financial prosperity they're trying to throw at you there. But the reality is, of course, that verse in that letter was a common greeting in that epistle or that letter that John had written and sent. And just basically saying, hey, I hope everything's fine. I hope you're doing good. You know, hope you're prospering and you're well. Of course, you know, who wouldn't? Mary and Martha were grieved when Lazarus, their brother, was sick unto death. You know, nobody likes sickness and death and stuff like that. It's part of our reality here on planet Earth in this fallen world, but this was a common greeting. This wasn't a promise of prosperity or what have you, as the Word Faith prosperity teachers would have you to believe. So anyway, they take that scripture out of context, of course. And but moving on in their literature, and my question would be, how did Paul's power, you know, from the first century get transferred to these paper hankies today? You know, is it possible this could be a scam? Well, I don't know. Let's read a little further and see what we can ascertain. This is a prophecy. This is a sealed prophecy, a sign from the Lord about your future. Important. Only break open this sealed prophecy after you have put this church prosperity Acts 19:11-12 Bible handkerchief and your prayer request back in the mail to the church where it came from here. And what I found was interesting, of course, and not shockingly, I suppose, but the mailer that the other person had received had the exact same prophecy that ours had. And again, once again, must say I felt cheated a bit, as this this prophecy was really, one was led to believe that this was a prophetic word given to you, a special word to you. In fact, if you are not going to return this church prosperity Bible handkerchief, then this sacred prophecy must be destroyed, unopened and unread, because this is a sacred spiritual prophecy, sealed word concerning you and your future. So anyway, led me to believe it was something special just for me and my wife, but apparently, since it was the exact same thing written on there as on the other person's and every other person in my area, and who knows how many other cities across the United States receive these, but at least they're using paper hankies and not cloth hankies. That'll make it a little cheaper for them to bless everyone. Anyway, I digress. But now, as I say, you're not supposed to break open the sealed prophecy page until after you sent the hanky. So there again, I guess I messed up. But yes. Did I mention you're also supposed to send a seed gift, otherwise known as money? Okay. Well, we know where this is going. But I really, you know, I have to ask the question: need I really warn any of you of this scam? But remember, P.T. Barnum, the famous circus guy, his famous quote, "There's a sucker born every minute." I don't think that applies to most of my listening audience. I hope none of my listening audience, and I hope we're all learning more about discernment. But there may be somebody that you might want to give out a warning about this nonsense, because people can be gullible. Now, anyway, I opened my podcast really with a little bit of comic relief, knowing that someone, of course, could get taken in by what we also might call a snake oil salesman. That's an old term for you old-timers. You probably recognize that term. Anyway, I want to move on to other things now. And you know, just when you think you've finished a series, more information comes in. You know, I've been doing a series really based on ecumenism and interfaith, the interfaith movement, etc. And I titled the series One World Religion, One World Government, and One World in Deception, and it was really based on 4 current events that I was commenting upon at the time over a period of time. Now, I want to add a 5th current event to those four, and I want to backtrack and really do somewhat of a postscript, which is going to be really a big postscript. It's really going to be a continuation of this series, and it will probably entail quite a few more podcasts. Just for a quick review, with some of the new information concerning these four current events, I've got these listed in my outline. You know, one was the current event concerning the Parliament of World Religions that met in Toronto. Another current event was the Pope's visits with many of the Islamic leaders, pertaining, of course, the emphasis being the move towards a one world religion. And a third current event, once again, was I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just pause for a moment. And the Parliament of World Religions is the current event we looked at, as I mentioned. One world government, ecumenism and interfaith in the Roman Catholic Church, of course, and that included the Pope's visitations to so many of the different Islamic leaders. One world government, you know, and there we were focusing on the globalist movement and all the different things that were taking place, usually involving saving, you know, the environment, saving the whales, I don't know, climate change and whatever they're calling it these days, global warming, climate change, etc. And then the fourth event was the Conscious Life Expo, which is basically another term for a New Age conference, of which similar to the ones that I visited when I was in LA. So these were the four events that we were looking at. Now, I want to, at this point, go back and delve with, you know, all of these events, really. And like I said, I was going to add another event to the Conscious Life Expo. I won't be saying much more about that. And like I say, this is going to cover quite a few podcasts and quite a bit of time. So I don't want to get in a hurry and get ahead of myself here. I want to, first of all, go to another article I got from the website of the Parliament of the World, Parliament of the World's Religions. And this is actually somewhat of a summary, and you can find the complete article in Parabola magazine, which is a New Age magazine. I remember that magazine years ago. And I believe that's the same magazine. Anyway, this article came from the website of the Parliament of World Religions, but it was reposted from Parabola magazine, which I believe is a New Age magazine. As I said, it sounds very familiar. I remember there was a magazine with that name. Anyway, and this is somewhat of a summary, from their point of view. I kind of gave a summary in the past, in what I shared before, my own summary, but this is a summary from their point of view, and I thought I would share that. And the title of this is Spiritual Activists Confront the Woes of the Planet, the 2018 Parliament of World's Religions. And let's just read here a little bit. The shift in focus on how the 2018 Parliament of the World Religions delved into the Earth's great challenges was as subtle and as bold as the symbols used in the program book and apt to designate the themes of the sessions. At the last parliament, they denoted religions, a cross, a menorah, a crescent, and star. At this gathering, which took place November 1 through 7 in Toronto, the symbols were topical. The silhouette of a woman's face for women's dignity, a dove for countering hate and violence, green leaves for climate action, and seven more for Indigenous Peoples Program, Science and Religion, Justice, Next Generation, Interfaith Understanding, Sacred Space, and Global Ethic. The message was clear. The time has come to recognize that it is the challenges of all of creation faces together, rather than the particular denominations engaged in the discussion, that must take precedence. To confront and even begin to resolve these grave problems, we must think beyond familiar liturgies and beliefs and open our minds and hearts, our prayers and sacred spaces, to others. The theme for 2018 was the promise of inclusion, the power of love, and for the 8,500 attendees representing 220 spiritual traditions in 80 countries. The agenda modeled that. In order to go forward in a just and fair way, it is necessary to look back and acknowledge where we have gone wrong. Now, further in the article, the inaugural World's Parliaments of Religions, held in Chicago in 1893, marked the first formal gathering of representatives from Eastern and Western spiritual traditions. Among the speakers were the charismatic Hindu monk Swami Vivekananda, Zoroastrian Jenjay Jamshidi Modi, and Dr. Elisa R. Sunderland, a professor of comparative religions, who urged her audience to widen their spiritual horizons, since the study of all religions is necessary to the intelligent comprehension of any one religion. Remember, this is from their point of view, from a non-Christian point of view. This whole article that I'm reading, the summary. The second parliament did not occur until 100 years later, again in Chicago. Since then, they have taken place more frequently. And I commented on that back in the day when I had done my own summary. In Cape Town, 1999, Barcelona, 2004, Melbourne, 2009, Salt Lake City, 2015. By implication, those who are called to attend such a gathering not only believe in a power greater than themselves, but are also open to the perspectives of people whose conception of that power takes a different form. They are curious, respectful, and eager to collaborate. Those attitudes were in abundance, evidence in Toronto, widely acclaimed as the most diverse city in the world. Services from various traditions began at 7 a.m., and all were welcome to attend as ceremony, prayer, and song transformed the windowless meeting rooms into temples, synagogues, mosques, churches, and the sacred garden of the Great Mother. One morning, Episcopal priest and spiritual pioneer Matthew Fox and colleagues offered a cosmic mass. At one point, they asked participants to get on their hands and knees and offer their cries of grief to the earth. We were then invited to listen to the cries of those beside us. That shift of attention slowly reshaped the sounds until they harmonized into one great tonal wave of prayer for humanity, the earth, and our terrible, beautiful, shared fate. And I put, Satan is a great choir leader. But you know, the mention of Matthew Fox, he goes way back. I'm almost surprised he's still alive. Episcopal priest, although at one time he was a Roman Catholic priest, and he was actually considered an apostate Catholic Dominican priest who left the Roman Catholic Church to become an Episcopalian minister. I would say, really, Pope Francis would probably love to have him back, you know, the direction that the Pope continually brings the Catholic Church in. He was noted for what he called creation spirituality. And I have an article from the LA Times that I'd like to read a little bit to you about Matthew Fox, as he is he's a real mover and shaker, you know, in the whole movement. And I would also, and I might do that now before I forget, I would also like to mention at least three of his books. I believe he's written quite a few more, but these are some of his more famous and heretical books. He has one called A Spirituality Named Compassion and The Healing of the Global Village, Humpty Dumpty and Us. And Thomas Merton is quoted there in the front of the book, and he has some acknowledgments from people like the Christian Century. Something tells me they might be liberal. Spirituality Today, you know, I'm spiritual but not religious, I guess they might say. Anyway, I'm not as familiar as some on this book, but this, of course, is one book. He wrote another one, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ. I think we just read in the summary there at this event how he had offered a cosmic mass. So he's into this cosmic stuff. This book, of course, was entitled The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, probably one of his more better-known books, along with Original Blessing, which is the other one I have in my hand here. But he also wrote one of four, it says, called One River, Many Wells. So as I say, I don't know how many he has written, but the coming of the cosmic Christ, of course, has some recommendations of people who I am more familiar with, particularly people like Bishop John Spong. He's an Episcopalian, extremely liberal, about as liberal as they get, about as non-Christian as you get, really. Fox captures, he says, as few theologians have ever done before, the feminine aspects of God so suppressed in traditional Christianity. And then M. Scott Peck, who has, unfortunately was popular in many evangelical circles and who claimed to be born again, he wrote The Road Less Traveled. He recommends Fox books as Fox's most daring, pioneering work yet, stimulating us to the kind of resurrection of values and practice required for planetary salvation. Did you know that the planet needs salvation? I did not know that. I thought it was more like on an individual basis, but again, I say that in jest, just to kind of let you see where M. Scott Peck was coming from, where his thinking was. You know, that the New Age movement talks about transformation of the whole planet, which must start with an individual transformation through, you know, a myriad of different transformational techniques or psychotechnologies, you know, involving altered states of consciousness, wherein we recognize that we ourselves are part of deity, you know, pantheism, and that once we begin to discover that about ourselves, we can go forward in the progress of the transformation of the whole planet. And that's probably along the lines of what Peck has involved here in mind here, as far as you know, planetary salvation. You know, for me, give me that good old time religion out of God's word. I'll take that over this heretical stuff any day. But anyway, here's the article concerning Matthew Fox. If you're not familiar with him, you might find this interesting. This was written way back in 1988. Matthew Fox, a Dominican priest who has mixed liberal New Age philosophy with Roman Catholic doctrine. Like I say, I think Pope Francis would love to have him back. He has been sentenced to a year of silence by the Vatican, according to a report in a Catholic newspaper. Fox, who has previously said he was not afraid to be labeled a heretic, okay, well, that's good, good thing, will be prohibited from speaking publicly or publishing his writings. Effective December 15th, said a report in the National Catholic Reporter, a liberal weekly published in Kansas City. Founder of the Institute in Culture and Creation Spirituality at Holy Names College in Oakland, Fox has come under fire for hiring faculty members who include a certified masseuse, a Zen Buddhist, and a self-described witch named Starhawk, who teaches classes on ritual making and sexuality and spirituality in native religions. Well, I can't imagine why he's not afraid to be labeled a heretic, and I, you know, I can't imagine why the Parliament of World Religions weren't happy to have him there doing the cosmic mass, etc. Anyway, but he is a mover and shaker, and as you see, he's been around for quite some time. A little bit more from the article. Fox's teachings have been under review since 1985 by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Remember him? He later became one of the popes. Whose Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith ordered Father Charles Curran dismissed in 1986 from the faculty of Catholic University in Washington for holding views on sexual ethics that deviate from Orthodox Church teaching. That is, Orthodox Roman Catholic Church teaching, of course. Action against Fox could revive tensions between the Vatican and the U.S. Church that surfaced during the Curran controversy and after Rome disciplined liberal Seattle Archbishop Raymond Hunthauser for apparent laxity in pastoral administration. Well, I guess that was the good old days of the Catholic Church, back when they were disciplined liberals. Now they are one, so to speak, with Pope Francis at the helm. It says, this work is just too pressing to be postponed until a neurotic papal regime dies out, Fox was quoted as saying. That's, you know, when he... It said Fox will partially defy the Vatican order by taking a one-semester sabbatical. This work is just too pressing to be postponed until a neurotic papal regime dies out. Well, now he would have what he wanted, but now he's an Episcopalian. Fox was quoted as saying he reportedly referred to the Vatican action as a compliment. Again, you know, going in line with him not being afraid to be labeled a heretic. It shows our influence is growing so much that they feel threatened. Of course, I do not have a high opinion of Roman Catholic Church, and there are plenty of heresies to go around there, but this guy was just too hot to handle for them, even. The curriculum at Fox's Institute emphasizes Christian mysticism, feminism, and environmentalism. Diversity is one of the riches of Catholicism, but one wonders if it is being sacrificed for the sake of conformity and control, Fox said in an interview with The Times in late 1986. This is the LA Times. I think it's a scandal that grown men in the 1980s are using their God-given imaginations to recreate the Inquisition when there is so much pain and suffering in the world, so much abuse of Mother Earth and children and artists, the priest said then. Fox declined to elaborate Tuesday on Vatican objections to his teachings or to describe the reaction of his superiors in the Dominican order. Earlier, he had said that the charges included accusations that he does not believe in original sin and that his creation spirituality does not clearly deny a belief in pantheism, the view that everything is God and God is everything, and that he feminizes the concept of God and does not condemn homosexual practice. I mentioned here, you know, his name is Matthew Fox. I had to stick this in there. I thought maybe he should change his name from Fox to Wolf, but I guess that's pretty self-apparent. Anyway, when news of the Vatican investigation was reported 3 years ago, Fox said he was not upset if people call me a heretic. Okay, I'm being repetitious in this article. I'm just reading what it says. And, of course, I wrote, amen. If the shoe fits, wear it. He said Joan of Arc was condemned, burned at the stake, and then declared a saint, the Dominican said. And, I'd say it's very insightful considering the future of the great harlot, the kind of things that will be taking place. And, of course, you see the same thing in the apparitions. At first, some of them were condemned by the church, and then later, because of enough popular appeal within the laity, within the masses in the Catholic Church, they caved and said, oh, yes, this really was Mary coming in this apparition. Anyway, the article goes on to say he's a popular lecturer at interfaith gatherings, and that's pretty much all I'll say about that article. I think I probably will not be able to make it through the rest of the Parliament World Religions article that I was reading from. Maybe, hold on just a minute here. No, I will have to continue with that next week, and I hope you'll come back and join with us as we continue to look at the current events taking place in our time that are kind of heralding the building of the one world religion and the one world government that's coming down the road. So God bless you all. I hope you join with us next week. Good night.